Welcome to Blooming Profits, a podcast by YouTuber Bear Flower Farm, where we talk about all topics related to running a profitable and sustainable flower farm. I'm your host, Jesse, and in each episode, we'll be joined by fellow flower farmers who are eager to share their insights, experiences, and tips for success. All of our interviews are recorded for YouTube, and we encourage you to check out the Bear Flower Farm YouTube channel for visuals and even more beneficial content. You can find the link in the show notes. Welcome back, Haley. Thank you so much for your generous time in a follow-up to our last video that we did last year, actually around this time. So for all of the viewers out there, in all honesty, this is less of an interview and more you guys just dropping on me and Haley catching up about various things, but more specifically around winter tulips. What was different this year? Because you're going to learn that Haley predominantly sells wholesale and started a CSA subscription this winter season. We're going to talk about Valentine's Day, what it's like to hit a major flower holiday, teeing that up with florists, getting pre-orders. Haley was just a beast in doing that. So we're going to cover all that and more. But before we do that, Haley, do you want to give everyone an intro as to who you are, where you're growing, and some background about you and your mom?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, Jesse, and just glad to catch up, right? Okay, so I'm Haley. I am 30-ish years old. I turned 30 last year. I am located in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, about 30 miles north of the city, in Butler County, for anyone who's in the know. This is our third year of growing, but lifetime, I have spent basically my entire life in the plant world. Both of my parents are Penn State horticulturists trained, and they have operated a landscape construction company since I was born. Our property that our farm is on is actually old nursery property, so old tree farm. And I have been in that world my entire life. So I have fond memories of being in the greenhouses and going through all the nurseries. And I currently actually work in the nursery or the landscape business, nursery business, with my mom and my dad as basically their assistant. I'm a project coordinator, project manager. So I have the plant background as well as the small business background, because, you know, it's a small business. You know, $5 million in sales, $6 million in sales every year. And I'm, you know, very fortunate that I'm up close and personal with the numbers and how operations work. So I come with a business and a plant background to flower farming. My mom and I decided that in, I think, 2021 at this point, that we wanted to start a flower farm. Our job is very busy, right? Like, it's seasonal, the same seasons as the flower farm typically is. So we were like, we're going to do wholesale only. And it happened that a collective or co-op was opening the same year that we started going, getting operating. And that was just a perfect marriage, and it's been great. So we're going on year three here and with the collective. And yeah, and this is what year two of doing tulips.
Yeah. So we are like basically on the same timeline here, right? Both mm-hmm. entering into year three, having yeah. taken the tulip workshop around the same time. So before we get into the tulips piece of it, one thing that you mentioned was you have a bit of business background. Obviously, you and your mom run another kind of business. And that was something that really stood out to me about Bryn Hill Flower Farm, because you guys got your branding down, you hired like a professional designer. And I just felt like you really approached starting a flower farm through the business lens and with business savvy. So let's actually reflect back on yeah. how year two was versus year one. Like, how was your year two overall in 2023?
Yeah, year two was great. We definitely, it's so funny when you start a business, year one like flies by, and you just do so much work. And then year two rolls around and you're like trying to remember all the stuff you did. And you look back at pictures and you're like, what do you mean I was XYZ, like all this stuff? So year two was really nice because it was like, oh, we already have the bed tilled up. We have the perennials planted. You know, that was a really nice way to come into year two. So if anyone who's just starting out is feeling like, oh my God, I'm never going to, you know, see the end of the madness. You do, I promise.
But there is more madness.
There is more madness. It just changes and you get used to it, right? So year two we did double our sales. And as Jesse mentioned, that we are primarily wholesale, and I'm talking like 95% wholesale through my collective. Working full time, I just can't, I couldn't conceptualize doing any retail. We'll get into that a little bit later, but bulk of our sales came from dahlias, the tulips that I forced, and then perennials and shrubs. We're very lucky to have a lot of big landscape beds here, particularly hellebores, which if you follow me, you know that I'm a big hellebore nut.
But you are effectively farming through all four seasons.
Yes, now I am, which has been interesting. This year, I started forcing tulips the beginning of January, middle of January, for a CSA. So now I really am.
But your work happened way before then.
Yeah.
It's
not like
you started in January. You know, you probably started in like mid-November, if anything, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely with getting all the stuff in stock. And then, you know, we order in March, April. So all of like the mental planning and like, you know, how, what are my numbers going to be? That happens as, you know, we're still pulling tulips, right? But yeah, year two was great. It was definitely a slog. I'm figuring out now, because I'm doing four seasons of flower farming, I'm figuring out like something's got to give, you know, and I know you've posted about that, is like figure out the logistics. Like, okay, here we are. Like what's the pattern? What are we going to do moving forward to like give ourselves a little more time, freedom? Personally, I'm looking to take like June and July off, if at all possible, and most of August. Labor Day was my biggest sales day. I don't know if I mentioned that to you before, but yeah, Labor Day.
Labor Day? I'm shocked to hear that. With
sales? With sales to my florists and some pop-ups. People were having, like, doing DIY weddings that reached out to me. And not that many. I mean, like, you know, it just takes a couple. And then I had my biggest week at my collective was Labor Day weekend.
At a certain point, you shared with me what you were doing or in terms of your goal at the collective weekly. Can you share like high level the number you're trying to hit and where were you at year one? Because that was great perspective for me.
But yeah, so my goal this year was to be around $300 a week. So I just ran the numbers and I did 30 weeks of sales at my collective and I averaged $361 a week. I'm pretty happy with that. I was surprised. I was like, you know, like you have these plans and then life happens and then you come back to it and you're like, oh, it worked out.
And I think sometimes it's hard for people who, one, haven't done flower farming for a while or at all, or haven't sold wholesale, $360 worth of sales is effectively anywhere from like 25 to 30 bunches. Yeah. So it's a good amount of stem volume, and to do 30 weeks of it means that you've got to understand how to properly succession plan, to know what's going to come into bloom. And Haley, like what was your first year? Because first year you obviously didn't do 360 a week.
Yeah. So my year one per week sales was about $150.
So you doubled, you more than doubled.
More than doubled, which is just like, that was my goal, right? But to hear that and like, oh, you actually did that is pretty great.
To double it, was it simply being like, okay, I need to grow more in volume? Were you more intentional about eliminating certain things and growing more of something else? Like, how did you get to that double? Because you didn't hire anyone to do it, right?
And no,
we're both still at the scale where there's still more juice left to squeeze.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. For one, I did 400 dahlias. Year one, I think I did 200 dahlias. And I put them in a washout area. So they were in standing water several times. So that's a losing battle, number one. So they got moved to a prime position in my annual bed and they were my highest sales. They were 25% of all my sales were dahlias. And then it was like 20% tulips and then hellebores, celosia. I just have a great spot for growing celosia, honestly. And this is a good lesson that like, figure out what works and you can sell well and lean into that. My zinnias, I had a total crop failure in year two. Year one, they were phenomenal. I had beautiful Dawn Creeks. Everybody loved them. They were like my fourth sales thing. Total crop failure. So I scrapped those. For me, a lot of my motivation comes from annoyance at myself. I was annoyed that I put the dahlias in an area that got washed out because my thoughts were, oh, it's closest to the existing garden, then I can water it. No, dummy, it's in the middle of the washout area. there's just some things, and I've talked about this with growers in my collective, is like, it's great learning experience, but you have 365 days. You need to wait until you can redo that. And in some ways that's wonderful. And in other ways, it's extremely frustrating. My hellebores just happen to have a better year in year two, the tulips. And I forced that, you know, they're such an expensive stem. They really just jack up, you know, prices.
So great transition into tulips, yeah, because you said dahlias were about 25% of your sales, mm-hmm, tulips about 20%. Mm-hmm. And so I would assume that that 20% is largely comprised of winter tulips.
Yes, they were winter and Easter tulips. When I did the tulip workshop, that was, I think, in like September, October, I had already placed all my orders for tulips. And so I was kind of in this weird spot where I'd bought tulips that were not suitable for forcing. So I ended up having to get two trays of 5Cs, and they were very expensive. I actually was just looking at this because I literally just ordered another crate of tulips an hour ago. Paid like, $180 for a tray. Yep. The tulips that I bought in 20 whatever year that was, my first year, were $300.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So the price breakdown,
that's about like 70 cents a bulb, maybe. Yeah. Like, yeah. High 60s. Yeah.
When I was looking back and I was like, why wasn't I profitable? It was because the tulips were like double the price cost.
Yeah. And I think that was a huge learning for me this year, but I'm, mm-hmm, starting to get ahead of myself. So, okay. Let's take a step back. Right. So yes, both of us forced tulips in both year one and year two. Let's talk about quantities. Mm-hmm. So talk about how many you forced in this year and, mm-hmm, like what that looked like, I guess, in terms of growth versus 2022.
Yeah.
Year before.
The bulbs, I know we have to do like year one, year two because of like the timing and the,
yep.
Okay. So in year one, I did 1,000 five treated bulbs, which are winter tulips. We call them winter tulips or Valentine's Day, whatever you want to call them. And then I think I did like 1,000-ish untreated tulips, which untreated tulips, as some of you know, are the tulips that anyone can buy. They have no special treatment. The 5C tulips are special. Very few distributors. There's a whole science behind it. So I did 1,000, maybe I did 1,000 and 1,300 in year one. So like 2,300 tulips. And I only sold about a third of my 5Cs because I had, it was very last minute that I bought these tulips. Not last minute, it was like November. And that was like my first year of wholesale growing. I had no retail people, zero, because I had really focused on my wholesale florist. And, you know, my florist knew me and that was great. That was a good step, you know, foot in the door. But my price per stem is $2. And that's a very expensive tulip. And that actually has not changed year to date. But that's a pretty hefty cost for a tulip. And for florists to take a risk on that. And, you know, they knew me a little bit, but they didn't know me at that point. So I sold about a third of what I had. And then I kind of picked up some retail sales, but you know, I just kind of wrote it off as a learning year for the treated tulips in year one. Easter was a different story because at that point, you know, people are a lot hungrier. If you know, because they associate, you know, that March season or March, April for tulips. So then those all sold out, like no problem. And I had some really standout varieties. The tulips that I had for the first year Valentine's Day were like a purple and a pink, which... If that's wonderful, but 100 bunches of those, you know, you're going to have to work a little harder to get rid of them. And like my timing was off. So year one was basically a wash. I made very little profit, if any, quite honestly. I totally soil force. All of my crates are soil. I don't do any hydro, except this year I have started, thanks to Jesse. Yeah, right. Exactly. Literally.
You did 2,300 first year, which was... Yeah. A lot, I feel.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Yes, especially like even though it's stretched out over a couple of months for soil, it's less stretched out because of the time it takes. And so therefore most of your stems, I assume, are coming in like later January through March.
Yeah, well, and then I like messed up and my two varieties bloomed in 14 days of bringing them into my house, where the guidance typically is like 3.5, 4 weeks. Yeah, so that's fun and a good lesson for anyone who's doing tulips that like you just gotta do it because like you can read about it until you experience stuff in your own environment. Good luck. Godspeed to you.
This year, then, what did
Yes.
it look like for you?
Yeah, so this year I did 1,700 treated tulips, so for winter tulips. I was very fortunate. I split my tulip supply with a friend and I was able to get a lot more varieties. I had the experience from year one to know like what people want and like, oh, hey, maybe you should have a red for Valentine's Day. You know, wild concept. I was able to really kind of tailor, and I'm an aesthetics person. Like I like make sure everything coordinates and it looks good and like I'm obnoxious. So I really spent a lot of time, you know, curating my tulips this year. So I did 1,700 total treated, and they're all in soil. And so I'm like in October, November, exhausted, like planting tulips and like how, crates, and it's a nightmare. I ended up selling about 900 to my florist, which is just like outstanding. That was almost triple. That is triple of what I sold in year one.
Can we pause there? Like,
Yeah.
what changed? Was it because they got to know you, or like you did more
Yeah.
marketing?
You know, I think I pride myself on constantly talking about things I'm passionate about. It's just my personality. And I spent some time, you know, making things and little previews in Canva with other people's pictures and emailing my florist and just talking one-on-one to them. I do make a point when I'm at my collective to, and I'm there for a time period, you know, go up and talk to my florist. You know, having a face to a name and personality, it really means so much.
So you built relationships,
So I built relationships,
you
number one.
inadvertently marketed,
I
right?
inadvertently,
Like
yes.
pretty much very consistently,
Yeah,
right?
very consistently, just talking about the dang things, you know, keeping it front of mind for people. And then the people who saw the forest tulips in year one, you know, be it the Valentine's Day or the Easter, they just were so blown away by the quality. You know, if you aren't familiar, florists get tulips that are like this big. They're tight as can be. They'll stay tight as can be because they're shipped from Holland or Canada. You know, they're harvested very young, so they don't get the same development as the ones that you see here. And so there's just like no comparison. Like, I really mean that. Like, and it's not an exaggeration. Like, but I mean, gorgeous.
I mean,
Oh,
this thing, like, let me give you my hand.
yes.
I often see on Facebook people commenting about how forced tulips don't open as big. And for certain varieties, it is true. You're going to get a better field result or soil result, but, or like non-forced result, sorry. But for the most part, everything that I force is so big that they end up drooping, right?
Yes. Yeah, like this one. This is crazy. It's so big. It's so big. And so actually, Jesse,
A
we have
double
the same
shake?
variety. Yeah. This variety is the one that you have.
Yes, that's Louvre.
Yeah. Oh
Or
wait,
not
no, it's
Louvre,
not at live.
Lambada.
Yeah, Lambada. Yeah. So you can see like I just picked this today. It
Yes,
will
and
be
it
coming.
will turn into this, or at least this at the, yeah.
Yeah, that. And
Yeah.
like And that evolution you do not get from commodity tulips. Like you just don't. My florists appreciate the organic nature, shall we say, and the art of the tulips, as I talk about and all my stuff. That just the quality really speaks for itself. And that's something that if I would be doing this all over again, I would be getting my tulips in their hands as soon as humanly possible. They might gawk at the price. I know that's often in the Facebook groups and the commentaries that, you know, the florists gawk at the price and like, yeah, they're expensive. Like we've talked about, they're $2 a stem. Tulips commodity can literally be anywhere from like $6 for 15. That's just a hard number to break, but they're not gonna look like that.
Yeah, and I had sent to you the podcast with Ellen Frost and Jenny Love, and I thought that was a really good conversation because they talked about winter tulips and They talked about this phenomenon of more people starting to force because of the Tulip Workshop, but then seeing the prices, they said it was like $235 to $250 that they were seeing in Ellen's region. And you know, Jenny made this good point, which is that when you're a smaller scale grower, there's only so much economies of scale that you can have. So in order for it to be profitable, it does have to be above that $2 price point. And right. Ellen chimed in with her florist background saying, well, the florist needs to mark up by 3 times in order to, that one third is to make a profit, one third is to pay the farmer, one third is to pay for the overhead. So based on your experience, Haley, with your florists, are there, like, was there a lot of pushback once they understood the quality of the stems? And did you hear a lot of balking about the pricing?
No, I have one florist who asked if like I would give a bulk discount because I think I did last year because I was like kind of desperate to move them. And I just said, no, I'm not forcing enough to offer a bulk price. And they're understanding. And here's the thing. There's always going to be people who want something cheaper. Like that's just how it goes, right? Like there's always going to be someone who asks for cheaper price. And that's my one florist. And that's fine. That's fine. She can ask and I can say no or yes. I am very fortunate. And I really don't know if it's honestly my personality that I like, you know, the people don't really question that or people. And oftentimes like I've sent people availabilities, people that do pop-ups or, you know, some smaller home florists and they just don't respond, you know, or they don't order. And, you know, they never say to me like, oh, it's too expensive. I, you know, maybe that is it. Maybe they missed the order window because I did sell out. I had been really pushing like pre-orders because I wanted to be done. You know, I'm very open about like, I am in, you know, at Christmas or whatever, negative temps, going to check my cooler, got to go water my tulips. Like, you know, I do really think that behind the scenes helps. It's just part of the education, right? With the whole tulips, they're great. And in flower farming in general, it's great. I love it. There are about 50,000 other things I could be doing with my time. So, you know, I need to price them in such a way that it's worth my time to be doing this.
Yes.
You know, passion takes you so far, but like you need to be paid for what you're doing.
Yes. And that's something we'll talk about later in terms of what does that mean for next year?
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay on this topic around just you selling during Valentine's Day, because I feel like you had a system this year where you're like, I am going to start my pre-orders at this date. Like I have a more just organized way of pushing stems. So what changed between year one and year two from the when?
Going into year one, I really had no idea what the heck I was doing. So it's just kind of like, here, I have these tulips. Like, you know, I think I probably started advertising middle of January and I didn't have anything to show for it, right? Like that's another challenge is like when you're starting out to do something, it's like, you don't have any pictures and like people buy with their eyes, you know, like they need to see, like, you know, there's one thing if it's a number on a piece of paper, like, but something as expensive as these tulips, like you need to see them. You need to know like what you're getting into. What I did this year is I used Canva and I made like a little pre-order form. I had some pictures. I did borrow them off the internet, gave credit, wasn't posting them anywhere. Just sent them in an email to my florist. And I had put out like a couple times on my Instagram stories, which by the way, I only do Instagram and have a website. Like I don't do any Facebook or anything. I have some emails from last time, you know, over the year. And then I was asking for people's emails. And then I sent an email. I think my first email was like the beginning of January. I sent them, I like laid it all out. Like here are my delivery days. Here's like the order form with the pictures and the costs. And as I said, you know, all my stems are $2 for Valentine's Day.
So that's actually a really good point, because I think a lot of newer growers don't realize florists who have been doing this for a while put their pre-orders in for the major holidays weeks in advance.
Oh yeah.
So I had a designer that was like, are you going to have Columbus in the beginning of January? They're like, we're sourcing our stems. So if Valentine's Day is February 14th every single year, if you're starting to market on the 1st of February, you are too late. I would say that the latest you should start marketing is mid-January.
Yeah, like right? the latest.
Exactly.
The latest. And you better have been like talking about it, like like casually. Like you have to be talking to people and be like, hey, remember tulips. And that was the thing too, is like I wanted to give people adequate time between like the holidays, like, you know, Christmas and New Year's. I think I sent my first email on like the Wednesday the 10th. with all of the information, just really spelled it out. I had a flat rate delivery and like a 4-bunch minimum, because typically my florist I'm finding are like 5 to 6 bunch average for an order, because they're adding my tulips into other things.
Exactly.
Because they are, you know, a high cost item, there's not many people that are like making a totally, you know, a tulip heavy bouquet, right? So they're getting added in. And the other thing too, they can brag about how they have local tulips. And that's another selling point right there.
That's what I'm finding, where it's obviously too expensive to make an entire bouquet fully tulips. And honestly, like the end consumer is probably also going to be like, why is this entire thing tulips, right? Like they're not going to understand, well, it's all local.
Like I can go to Whole Foods and buy like my or Trader Joe's and like get a tulip bunch.
Exactly. Like I'm seeing a lot of more, we'll call it beginner, newer types of florists who really are prioritizing local. They're the ones who are actually buying a lot more quantity from me at once. I see the ones who have had a few years under their belts understand, hey, in order for me to make Valentine's Day profitable, I can source all American, right, with the foliage and other stuff, but I'm only going to be able to dedicate like 20% of my budget to the premium focals, which would be tulips here. Right. So it was just really interesting for me to see how different florists approach the budget. And I could totally tell when someone was completely new, because like,
Bless them.
I have a lot more bunches, right, than what I would normally see. And look, it's obviously fantastic that they want to support. I just think that they're probably in the process of still crunching or figuring out what that profitability piece looks like. So I would say that in comparison to Haley, who really worked her butt off to pre-sell bunches, like how many did you end up pre-selling at the end?
90.
Yeah, 90 bunches.
Yeah, and 90 bunches, so like 900.
90 bunches.
For 2-3 days. I did a Friday, Sunday, and Monday delivery.
Yeah. So that's 900 stems that she pre-sold. In comparison, I sold under 24.
Okay.
Yeah. We committed. And a part of it was just, even though it's in my second year, I could not still fully grasp what was going to come in and what wasn't. And it was less about what was going to come in too early and more just what was on the fence. So there was like one particular variety that everyone had the same experience, and it's called Carnival de Nice, which is this one, really, really pretty, but literally the slowest growing tulip. She just bloomed for me, and it should have been a week before Valentine's Day.
I'm like, what day? I feel like Valentine's Day was a month ago. I'm like, what day is it?
It's only like, it's only what, like 10, nine days.
9 days.
Feels nine like days. Oh my God. It feels like it was, because the stress of Valentine's Day is obscene. Yeah.
It's nuts. But that actually leads into another great point about the local tulips, is that I was finding, and when I was dropping off, because I do all of my own deliveries, and it's a nice time to get some FaceTime with my florist and, you know, just chat. So many of them were missing orders. Their tulips were delivered, but not to them. No idea where they went. I didn't even have enough to offer them any because I sold out. So I was like, oh boy, got to fix this next year.
But that's the thing, like even florists can be last minute. So even though I only sold under 24 by, we'll call it the end of January, the week leading up to Valentine's Day, I started getting random like day orders, like please ship out today.
Yeah.
And so I had, I would say, cleared about like 80% of all of my stems.
Wow.
Like the few days leading up before Valentine's Day, because I also had a work trip during the Monday, Tuesday, right? Which was fine because no florist is going to want to have the stems so close because they need a condition, they need to arrange with them and all that stuff. But I would say that I sold out of every single stem that I had because I still had demand the weekend after. And that's another learning, which is that first of all, not everyone has a Valentine. So it's not like Mother's Day where everyone has a mother or a motherly figure.
True.
Right? But not everyone's going to have someone who's going to buy flowers for them. And so I find that people still want flowers outside of Valentine's Day.
That's a good point. That's a good point and something that I need to account for next year.
So I sat probably for about 5 days without any stems. And luckily there wasn't a ton of demand, but I had to turn some retail customers away and be like, sorry, I have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, me right now. I just sent my one of my last subscriber tulips, and like I usually get sent. I sell her some for the shop. I have none because I was like too in my head with Valentine's Day. I didn't plan accordingly.
So, do you feel like you can still increase your production around Valentine's Day, or did you feel like you hit your limit?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So as I mentioned that I'm doing hydroforcing for the first time. The fringe tulips you see behind me are hydroforced. Woo! Jessie, all to Jessie, all credit to Jessie. She convinced my mom is like by the book, Miss Sanitation, sanitation's everything. So
the most hilarious part, Haley, is that Eric always jokes that I'm like not a very clean sanitation oriented person. I'm like, just put some Xeritol on there, like a little disinfect it. And then whenever he makes funny, I'm like, you know, I own a soap company. And he's like, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the last product you should be selling.
It's just
funny because I feel like that's a testament around just if I can do hydro.
Yeah.
I can do hydro.
There you go. There you go. And part of the conversation is the risk factor, which we'll get to. But yeah, you gotta be pretty risk.
So does having some success with hydro, because clearly you've got some stems, does that impact your numbers next year for Valentine's Day?
Definitely. I'm going to do all of my CSAs as hydro, and then I'm going to keep some soil forest for my florist. I have the infrastructure set up. And I just am seeing that the tulips I soil force I really can nail down when they're going to be ready. There's just some difference in soil in hydroforcing the soil that I don't think I'm willing to take the risk necessarily to do all of my florist tulips in hydro.
You mentioned CSA, and I realized we didn't talk about your retail.
Big shock. Yeah. So, okay. So back to this. So I did 1700 treated tulips this year. 900 of those went to my florist, 950-ish went to the florist, and then the rest went to my CSA, which is very exciting. So we had 12 subscribers total. And the way I did it is actually similar to Jessie. Thank you again for your assistance. But I had two pickup locations, and they went every other. So I did three bouquets over 6 weeks. And so the first was at the jewelry store. The next was at a bookstore, and then jewelry store, bookstore, jewelry, bookstore. That was great. I was very fortunate. My good friend owns the jewelry store, friend that I've made like through the collective, and another friend who's a grower, and she and I have collaborated a bit. She's just awesome. Like, she's just a big flower person. So she's like the perfect candidate for having a pickup. And the other pickup is at a bookstore in a neighborhood that's right in the heart of the city. It's called the Central North Side, Mexican War Streets in Pittsburgh, for anyone who knows. It's the City of Asylum Bookstore. They have a really cool mission. They support exiled writers who are seeking asylum in America, you know, being persecuted by their governments. And so that is the neighborhood my dad lives in. And I have known the people who operate this business, or who founded the organization. I've known them basically almost my entire life. So I kind of used that connection to get me a shoe-in to be able to do this. And then because my dad lives in that neighborhood and I know all these people, a whole bunch of people bought subscriptions from me. That was great.
Would you say you got any subscribers who didn't know about you before?
Yeah, definitely. So what I ended up doing, I made two posts, a post for each location. I posted in my stories on Instagram with a link. And then I actually made a print ad for them to hang up in store. And I can't tell exactly the leads, but I'm willing to bet that a good chunk of them came from that ad.
Wow.
You know, and I used like a pretty splashy picture. I used one of my tulips sitting in my driveway with snow in the background. So it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, winter tulips. Like
magical.
Magic. Yes. It's snowing, but she's got flowers.
It's year one. I mean, 12 shares is honestly plenty. Uh-huh. And it's a really good way to get your feet wet. And my question for you then is, do you have plans to expand that next year?
Definitely. I'm hoping to do 30 shares a week.
There is just a really important role that retail plays when it comes to winter tulips. In a way, for me personally, my belief that like it just has more of an impact versus other seasons. So first, if you're selling predominantly wholesale and you're selling to designers, there's not a lot of events going on in the winter, right? So you're really trying to hit Valentine's Day for those florists, and outside of Valentine's Day might be these one-off workshops that they might have, an event here or there, but it's so different than during spring and fall, right? But then there's this other piece, which has become a bigger conversation, especially amongst Tulip Workshop participants, which is just the state of the reality of both climate change and what happens when certain varieties get overloved. And when varieties get overloved, there is a higher demand, which means that more farmers are putting all their eggs in that basket trying to produce that. You get climate change, where in 2023, it was a terrible harvest, compounded with a terrible fall for planting. It was like too wet. So in 2024, we're all expecting to also see some bulb shortages. And then once you start having bulb shortages, it's like what's happened in the livestock industry, the bulbs need to regenerate. So you have a smaller number of bulbs to regenerate from, which is going to create more of a pinch on demand in the years going forward. So I point this out because when you sell to designers, you don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of the colors, even the styles in terms of what they want. But when you sell retail, especially for CSA, I can take any kind of substitute.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesse, you make up a really good point. And that's something that we have seen in the nursery industry for years and years and years. We, you know, during what was the last economic, like in 2013, no one was planting anything. So in the tree nursery industry, deciduous nursery business, there's a huge lag time. So when you don't plant for a full year or two because the economy is down, it takes 5 to 6 years for that slump to catch up in the supply chain. And you're SOL. Like, there are no trees at 3 to 4 inch caliper, you know, and I'm getting really in the nitty gritty because this is my world that I've lived in, right? But there becomes this pressure point, pinch point, where it's just not available. And our architects and the owners of the businesses, we work a lot for universities, two big universities in Pittsburgh. They don't want to hear that we don't have 3 inch caliper trees available. That doesn't mean anything to them. Like, you know, so there, it comes very challenging with these kind of overloved situations or, you know, climate change, economic situations, which is a lot in the nursery industry.
People don't think about how, like, we have a housing shortage in the US, and that's why housing prices are so high, because we underbuilt during the last recession. Right. But it's very similar in certain cases in the flower farming world. And it's not something I thought about until tulip forcing, because it was really brought to front of mind, especially since tulips are one of our main crops, right? Yeah. So I think that when you grow enough of something in excess of like 10,000, these things start mattering, and you start really strategically thinking about what are the sales outlets and levers I can pull to mitigate some of these impacts. Because when we say no to a substitute, that obviously has a ripple effect on the grower who is growing those bulbs. Yeah. If enough people say no, then do they get to sell those bulbs? And I'm sure eventually they'll find an end consumer, but you know, the less time you're spending trying to sell something, the more time you can dedicate on growing.
Growing something well. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just one of those things where we have a lot more impact and influence than we think, but it all starts with you being strategic about how you're going to sell it. Because if I'm 100% wholesale, I can't take every single sub.
No, and we talked about this, is because I spent a lot of time like figuring out my substitutions and like what I was willing to accept. As I, at that time, was thinking wholesale, 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 I need to make sure that, you know, I can't sell yellow margarita, 500 of those, two of the big bright yellows, to my florist. I can maybe sell like 10 bunches of those, but not 50. Yeah.
Not a full crate's worth. And I laugh because I have certain designers who always respond back to me, and they're like, I can't wrap my head around this. Yellow was your most popular color at the bouquet bar. Like, what? So it's just funny. Yeah.
To be a healthy, viable, you know, you need to be able to think about those different places you can sell things. Actually, a lot of my stems ended up going to a pop-up. I was pleasantly surprised. That kind of came last minute, because I was like, what am I going to do with these extras? Like, and they just kind of snapped them up for me, which is wonderful.
I do want to talk about our plans for next year, because we started getting really into the numbers and data,
I
think after year two, you start getting comfortable, you start understanding what is possible, what isn't in terms of your capacity. And then the ultimate question becomes, how much do I need to do to make it worth my time? And that was how I approached it. So Haley, do you want to go first in terms of what your plans for year three look like?
So I am still kind of figuring out the numbers, but I, Valentine's Day, my goal, I think, is going to be to have 2,000 stems to offer. And I think that's really where I'm going to top out. You know, a thousand was doable. Was I exhausted and delirious? Absolutely. Yes. I think I can squeak out another couple, you know, double what I have. So like 2,000 there. And then I need to do the math. If I'm going to do 12 weeks of 30, whatever that math works out to be.
360.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I was like 5,000, and I'm thinking between 5,000 and 7,000. I would like to have some more tulips available to people. I currently just am growing what I have sold, basically. I'd like to get a point where I have a couple, you know, some more bunches to offer. My one florist who is all US grown, I think she's going to probably start doing more year round stuff. Right now she's event only, but I think she's probably going to get more into, but anyway, I digress. So long story short, I'd like to have more. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to do about 7,000.
Yeah. And I would say that when I think about scaling up, it really is around like outside of Valentine's Day, because I really felt like I intended to do about 2,000. I had a couple of trees that were later, right? The ones that are just blooming right now. But that was just, I mean, look, maybe if I didn't have that work trip, it would have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it was a hustle. I mean, it was... Yeah. It was stressful, and I feel like it was way easier than what florists have to deal with, but that felt like that was my max. And if anything, I want to push a little bit earlier. So I started offering my first CSA during the last week of December. I got stems. My first stem came in on December 10th this year, and I didn't have a ton, but I would say I started having a ton probably about 10 days after that, so December 20th. So I probably could pull up the CSA a little bit earlier.
Okay.
And holiday tulips actually sell well.
That is what.
The right colors. Yep. Compare them with lilies even, or paper whites, whatever you have.
And that's right. My plan.
So I think that there's a lot more opportunity. And if you can pull up the schedule, there's risk in that, because you might get shorter stems, but there's also less risk of attrition. So I'm still trying to play around with the numbers, but I crunched my numbers for 2023 at about, we'll call it 7,000. It might actually be a little bit less now, because I'm starting to see higher attrition in my current successions with hydro, but let's just say it's 7,000. And so I'm baking in a 20% attrition. So I would say up until now, I've had on average 15% attrition. Okay. And so I'm upping that to 20% to account for this month. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to losing 1,400 stems, which is a lot if you think about it, right? That's like $2,400.
And that's three full trays, basically.
Exactly. So that means I get to sellable stems of about 5,600. Okay. And at what I'm selling it at between retail and wholesale, I'm looking at a profit margin of about $1.10. And that's
fabulous.
Like when I do the average on Excel right now, it's $1.30, but I'm inconsistent with calculating credit card fees. There's the utilities piece of it with the lighting that I haven't put in, right? Like I think I count in rubber bands and paper, like the small stuff with that. But there's other stuff that I haven't counted for. So I'm putting in 20 cents a stem to be conservative. So that's $1.10 per stem. And what that gets me to for the 2023 season is about a $6,160 profit.
Wow.
So, but... One thing to think about is that profit is spread over a few months. We start basically in November. I mean, I got my bulbs in early November. So you got November, December, January, February, March.
March.
So you got 5 months. And so your total profit per month comes out to about $1,200 a month, which, look, is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, sure.
But it is also a lot of effort for $1,200 a month.
And you know, that is what it always comes back to.
Yes.
I was running my numbers and my profit for Valentine's Day, slash my CSAs, but we're just going to say Valentine's Day, was $1,400.
Which is not bad for a one day holiday. Like, that's your profit. That's not your revenue. That's your profit, yeah, right? Profit. So that's not bad at all for a one day holiday, but it was also probably very stressful and you needed to recover from it. Yeah.
Yes. The profit is great. We love to see it. It's very profitable, but like at what cost? And it exactly. again comes back to, I can be doing so many other things with my time. The way it works out for me is that it's the down season at the landscape company. I have some more free time and more brain space. And that's, to me, what it boils down to is like the mental load of it is a lot. I'm very, very prone to burnout. I need a lot of rest. Like, I need to be resting a good solid hour and a half, 2 hours in the evening, like, which is a lot. Not everyone can do that. And not everybody has the ability to do that. But like, for me to be able to continue to do this,
I hear you. Cause I don't have a life.
I mean, Jesse,
like, once a month, maybe we have friends over, we go over, but yeah, like I don't have nearly the same social life as my peers. I mean, that being said, I also have a kid. So most people don't have lives when they have a kid, but there is a huge opportunity cost to winter tulips. And it all comes down to what number makes sense for you. And that's obviously going to look different for everyone. Because I always get this question around, how many tulips should I be doing if I want to take the tulip workshop? And it's like, financially, you need to be forcing, in my view, at least 3,000. Like
at least
1,000, right?
At least.
Minimum to break even, to get what you need out of it. But then after you break even and after that first year of learnings, then it's about you, right?
Yeah.
It's about what makes sense for you. Look, some people may be happy with like $500 a month, right?
Yeah.
And like there is obviously more effort in terms of a $500 profit per month versus 2,000 per month. But at a certain point, there is economies of scale. There's still that juice left to squeeze before you need that second person. And for me, there is still that juice to squeeze. And when I look at it, I'm like, I want $2,000 in profit a month.
Yeah.
So then when you work backwards, for me, that looks like 11,500 bulbs for the entire winter season, which feels doable because that's about a 60%, 65% increase. That's not like doubling what I did this year. I think it's not only doable, but it also forces me to think more strategically about how I could be efficient. So maybe that is more CSA shares, but maybe that is also working with like a local farm with their CSA, or we have a place where we buy meat that is open four seasons and maybe they want to carry winter tulips for Valentine's Day, right? So forces you to be more efficient about your sales outlets.
We talked about this the last time. It's like, we want to be growing when people are hungry for tulips or hungry for flowers.
Yes.
I want people hungry and coming to me. I don't want to have to be like schlepping around, begging people to buy flowers.
100%. I mean, it's such a different, it's almost flipped around, right? And look, it's not that it's easy to sell tulips because, as you heard for year one, Haley actually couldn't sell 2/3 of her tents, even though she was focusing on wholesale. But the point is that I feel like during most of the year where other people are growing, you got the growing part figured out. And then it's really about the selling. During the winter, you got to figure out the growing part. But once you figure that out, the selling part is a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And got that little bit of a learning curve. And then once you get to that, and you know, my fault, the learning curve for me in year one was I didn't have any retail customers. And had I had retail customers or any kind of retail base, I would have sold those 2/3 of my 1,000 tulips that I had at Valentine's Day or, you know, January, February.
Yep.
So that was on me for not planning better. and thinking, you know, and hoping, a wish and a prayer that like my florists are going to come through for me, which they did, right? Like, I mean, I, you know, selling 36 bunches with zero experience and zero background.
The reality of it is there's so few other people selling tulips. Like, people get concerned about, oh, there's so many more winter tulip forcers. And yes, there are, but
Where
are the animal popping down the street from me type of saturation yet. So
let me tell you, I know four people. Someone who I share bulbs with is 45 minutes north of me in her very rural farm community. She sells at her mom's archery shop.
Oh, her, yes.
Yeah, Justine. Yep, Justine. Yes. Shout out to Justine. She posted in the group about that. Those people, it's fabulous. For her, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, you know? Like, yeah. Those guys, we joke about that. So we got Justine up north of me. We have Becca at 11 Mile Farm, who is a very established retail CSA grower. She's in a pretty wealthy part of Pittsburgh, outside of the city. But she has her garden club kind of people, you know, that kind of vibe, that are very loyal to her, and she forces. She's also part of my collective, and she did sell some forced tulips, but she and I, you know, Justine, she and I are in good communication about pricing. And so, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie in that, which is fabulous. And I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
That's really nice. There is another flower farm that just started forcing this year. They offered $2 a stem retail. They're a very established farm. They do sales at their farm and then through a, a grocery delivery company. So they have a very specific niche. You know, I'm very fortunate my florists are locked in with me. I deliver to their door. They know they can call on me.
Yeah, everyone has a different value proposition that they offer is the point, right?
We have our avenues. Was it a little annoying that they were so cheap in their tulips? Sure. I'll get over it. Our customers are not the same.
That's the key. And I have someone who in my co-op is potentially thinking about taking the tulip workshop. Mm-hmm. And I am excited because I'm like, yes, if you do it and I do it and you have a hoop house that you can do other stuff, right? Like we can coordinate on varieties and mm-hmm. we can provide a bigger selection and keep the co-op open potentially for a longer duration. Because it's not enough for me to be like, here's my piddly extra like 200 bunches.
Yeah.
And right? Like it's just not enough variety. So the more people you have, especially in a collective or co-op model, the better.
There's a huge potential. And, you know, I had mentioned a little bit before that Justine and I split our ball border in half. So I had seven varieties. And I think I've got 9 varieties for Easter. That's just, you know, in year one, I had 2 varieties for Valentine's Day. You know, that there's so much value in that. And Justine and I, there's been times where she wasn't sure if her stuff was going to be ready. And I wasn't sure we were going to trade trays. Like, be like, okay, here we go. Like, we're gonna trade trays and like
it's insurance, right?
It's insurance. It's like, thank God I'm not the only person out here doing this.
Yes.
She jumped in doing the same quantity I'm doing year two. She's doing in year one with just her retail people. And you know, she got some subscribers. I think we both had about 12 subscribers. We did about like 4,000 tulips. She got, you know, so that's pretty impressive. Like,
that's awesome.
Big ups to her for like jumping like head in and like going for it, because I'm not that kind of risk of taker. I'm a little bit risk adverse, let's say. And I only did 1,000 untreated or treated, and she did double that. Going back, you know, figuring out that sweet spot, right, of like what's gonna work for me. Still figuring that out, but I'm, you know, gonna be more in line with where you are right now, probably about 6,000, I think.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much for catching up. Where can people find you on social media and all that good stuff?
On social media, we are Bryn Hill Flower Farm. I'm rocking my logo. Our logo was done by the homegrown studio, Alessandra, who is awesome. And this whole logo thing was our first big investment as a business. So like, if you think that like you're a little nuts, like just know that we spent a lot of money on branding before we even had the business started.
But it's important.
It's important. And it helped us take ourselves seriously. I'm getting off track. But so we are at Bryn Hill Flower Farm on Instagram. And we have a website. I am not on Facebook. I'm rebelling against Facebook. I'm just there to creep on the Facebook groups of the groups. But yeah, so you guys can find us there. I do love a chat in the DMs. If I like ignore you, just remessage me. I'm always on my phone. But yeah, anyway, it was so wonderful to catch up with you. And thank you all for joining in and listening to the rambling. And I hope it was useful. I had people tell me when I posted about doing this video with you, a couple people had reached out just saying like, thank you so much for your first video. It really inspired me. So that felt really nice. And so we love to hear it. So yeah, thank you so much, Jesse.
Oh, thank you so much, Haley.